Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I'm excited today, and I tell you, we had one of those weeks that everybody is still talking about. We're in a war zone here. Things are changing faster than you could ever imagine. And I tell you, this week we had the Reverend Jesse Jackson aide, Reverend Bullock, to come into our town, and he gave us a song and a dance. He sung and we danced. We did a two-step. And I tell you, it was really, really important that people understand that we're here and we're not going away. And we're not going to let anybody drive us. We're not going to let anybody drive us away. And I'm telling you this, this is just the beginning. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have a charter change. It will be voted on in November on the ballot. It reads this way. Changing a city charter is a lengthy, complicated process. According to Jessica Woods, an attorney with the Miller, Canfield, Padlock, and Stone, a charter amendment can be suggested by a community legislative body or through an initiative by its citizens. That is correct, by its citizens. In case of 7 charter amendments that will appear on the Benton Harbor November ballot, emergency manager Joseph Harris, using authority given to him by the Public Act 4, the Emergency Manager Act, stood in or took control of the city commission and suggested the change. Matter of fact, he bullied the commissioners because there was nothing they can do, and he suggested there should be a change. And because of several of the ballot proposals are related, if one proposal isn't passed, it caused the other to be implemented as well. The following proposal amendment will appear on the city November ballot. An amendment to reduce the size of the city commission from 9 members, including the mayor, to 5, including the mayor. Eliminating the city ward system. The city currently has 4 wards. If the amendment is approved by voters, it will take effect in 2013. This amendment can only pass if the amendment 2 and 6 pass. The mayor and commissioner term will be shortened from 4 years to 2 years, beginning with the election year in 2015, and eliminate the staggering of the term, meaning the commission will be up for election at the same time every 2 years. This amendment can only pass if the amendment 1 and amendment 6 pass. At that moment, the commission is required to deal with the city department heads through the city commission. Except in case of the Department of Finance and Law, who heads report directly to the commission. The amendment will change that law and have the city treasurer and the city attorney report directly to the city manager, who reports to the commission. This amendment can only pass if Amendment 5 passes. The city manager will now appoint and remove the city clerk instead of having the commission make that decision. The city manager will have the authority to hire and fire the city attorney and treasurer, instead of having a commissioner make that decision. This amendment can only pass if Amendment 3 passes. The number of commission vote required to reach a majority will change from 6 to 4 on issues such as creating city department, vacating streets, and others. This amendment can only pass if Amendment 1 and 3 pass. A smaller commission requires a smaller majority. The city manager will have the authority to hire and fire everybody, instead of going to the commission. But I'm telling you, this is a power move. This is a move that's being made here in the city of Benton Harbor that's going to ricochet all over this country. Right now, the city manager is changing. He's actually changing the charter without the consent of the people. He's trying to get people to vote for something that he wants and implement. But listen, let's get back later. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King, because this is Martin Luther King Day.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My Country, Tears of Thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' cry. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I tell you, this is something. Hey, it's time. It's time that people take a different stand and start doing things differently. I'm going to read a short article by Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said, it's time to create a new reality. Here's what he's saying. Whether you know it or not, we are at war. Our survival as a people is at stake. No weak need, cowardly leaders need to stand in front of black people today. This is a time for real men, men that understand that in order for people to be free, sacrifice has to be made. The loss of lives has to take place. Blood must flow in order for the people who are enslaved to be free, declared Minister Farrakhan. Almost at the start of the passage speech, with thousands at the Philadelphia Convention Center and others viewing internationally, internet webcam, Minister Farrakhan said the time for marching is over and the time for action, production, and independence were at hand. He called the seat of liberty, Philadelphia, where the Declaration of Independence was signed and where the United States Constitution was formed, indicating the beginning of a new nation. Philadelphia, also a key city mentioned in a scripture, he would also be an important place in the formation of a new nation for blacks stolen and held captive in America. He said, I came here today to talk straight talk. I love that. I came here today not to pussyfoot around the truth. I came here today not to be a politician. I came here today not to use diplomatic language. I came to put my foot so deep into the behinds of the weak and the wicked that they would have to move my shoe leather out of your mouth to begin to speak again, said Minister Farrakhan. It is no accident after all this time, Philadelphia, which means the city of brotherly love, becomes the place again for us which we can see coming, existence of a nation. And the crowd roar. I tell you one thing, I am truly, truly excited. And I agree, this is the language I like to hear people talk about. We are at war, and we got to get rid of all these weak knees, these leaders who claim they're leaders, claim that they want to come in and take over, and got black folks running around in circles. I tell you this right now, it's time that we take this thing to a whole different level, and it's time that we do it. We're going to have to take control. We got to stop asking these folks for jobs and start creating our own jobs. It's time that we move this thing to a whole different level. But I tell you, I want you to talk about today, we're at war. And it's time that we make them either put up or shut up. Let me bring in my co-host, Ralph Pointer from New York City. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinkney, and I'm listening. And I have several thoughts on the opening, which is always your, what's the word, scintillating, thought-provoking opening that we must have. And as you stated many months ago, that whatever is happening in Benton Harbor is going to happen around the nation. And it has been true. We see that what starts in Benton Harbor is going out. And when you talk about fiscal managers, when you talk about people getting off of welfare, being put off of welfare, when you talk about hard times, are coming here, the continuation of people losing houses and of government doing nothing about it but helping the rich against the poor, it has all come to pass. And now I'm going to analyze Minister Farrakhan's speech. We must do something rather than speak about doing something. There was no need for black people to follow along the lines of supporting the Democrats. And we have done this over and over and over again, where the Democrats have hurt us, but we forgive them and talk about the next time. When we tried to get Mr. Farrakhan to support other people than Mr. Obama, his answer was, well, I don't get involved in that. Well, if you don't get involved against stopping oppression, then when oppression comes, there's not much you can say about that. And, yes, we have to get involved in our own economics. Number one, we have to accept and assist those who understand that economic sanctions. I understand that you can be called a terrorist now if you talk about interfering with the capitalist enterprise. So we must use their language. We can get involved in economic sanctions. Mary has been calling for that for a long time. So let us get involved in economic sanctions. Let us do something. We all know about Philadelphia and what it represents. Let us create our own economy. Let us begin now. and we can't talk about next week. I think that it's not far from now when hunger is going to be an issue in America. Not malnutrition, but hunger. And some of the people who are being involved, and I see the young people in America talking about occupying Wall Street, occupying the banks. We have issues in our communities. We must begin to occupy places that are detrimental to our people in our communities. And I would say the banks are a good place to start because of these foreclosures. Let's occupy the government offices of this country. Let us get together to make people understand that we are very unhappy. So, recommendations. I am involved in bringing food to our community from farm communities because in the farmers market, we must have food. We must make connections. They are there. The situation is there for us to take advantage of. We have communities that are recognizable. We have inner-city communities that do not produce food, and we have farm communities that produce it. We must make the connection, and we cannot complain about others not doing it for us. So these are my recommendations. Thanks, Reverend. Keep it going. I'm with you 100%. But I will not cry anymore. Mm. We know what they're going to do with us.
That's right.
So we have to have an answer. Tell me an answer. Don't tell me that I'm hurt about what you're doing to me.
That's right.
Queen Mother Moore was the woman, and everybody knows her. Mr. Farrakhan knows her. Malcolm X knows her. Martin Luther King knows her because she was a wonderful, brilliant woman. And she had the answer to everything. And one day I asked her the question, how do you have so much information? And her answer to me was, I went all the way to the third grade, so that, and I try not to waste any of it. So I says, now here we are in a situation where we need answers. We must supply our people with answers, as you have done over the years. So I don't listen to anyone who doesn't come up with an answer. I try to have answers, you know, like myself. What are you doing? We must fight everyone who is involved in miseducating our children. That's an answer. We must organize our children to be educated. We must control our education system. We have a need for food. And we have people who are hungry. We must make that connection. Every 2 years, as you were talking about, they're going to change it. There is some symbolic meaning to the vote. We must stop giving our vote away to nonsense. We must stop giving our vote away to people who are detrimental to our existence.
Hey, Rob, here's the thing, too. One of the things that we really don't get out and vote unless there's a presidential election. But before I want to get into that, I want to go back to hear what Minister Farrakhan said. He said that blood must flow in order for the people who are enslaved to be free. And I know this for a fact, that there's never a change without a conflict. And
well, here, let me say this. Here we are looking at hindsight to the 60s. And I came from a meeting last night, and the meeting was about freeing our political prisoners, people who stood up for us. And I only know of two representatives who went to see our political prisoners. It was Cynthia McKinney, who spoke out about political prisoners, and Charles Barron, a councilman from New York, spoke out about our political prisoners, Sekou Odinga. So I'm saying, now, before we start talking about blood flowing in the street, let's talk about supporting those who did stand up. Let's start talking about what you had mentioned. We don't vote. Well, let's stop voting for those who offend us. And I hear Tavis Smiley and Cornel West talking about we must give Obama space. And I'm saying, wait a minute. We give him any more space, we'll be in the concentration camp. we can't, you know, we have to stop this nonsense of the few people are voting, taking it to the wrong place. And I'm not going to talk about revolution until I start supporting those who revolted, our heroes. And I don't want to hear about the Liberty Bell. I want to hear about Sekuadinga. I want to hear about Mutulu Shakur. I want to hear about Sundiata Okola. I want to hear about the old H-Rap Brown. I want to hear, and I'm sorry, I have a senior moment. I should never use his slave name. He has taken a stance with another name. And we must remember these names and these people, and they are so many. So let us start talking about those who have done it. Support those who have done it, rather than talk about more to be involved.
I like that, Ralph. Let me ask you another question. Hey, Ralph, one more question real fast. Right. Minister Farrakhan said, Black people today, this is a time for real men. Men that understand that in order for people to be free, you have to make sacrifices. He said he is sick and tired of these weak, mean, cowardly leaders. They need to stand in front of people today, and they have literally refused to do so. So,
you can't argue with that.
Well, you know, I know it would be very difficult to argue or debate that, but, you know, just this past week, Jesse Jackson sent one of his aides down here. And I was going over the internet, and the internet was saying that Jesse may have been responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King, and this is really Martin Luther King week. I don't have no evidence. I'm just you know you can find anything you want on the internet. So I'm thinking about that. Then I learned about these weak-kneed leaders.
Well, you can't argue about
so many of them.
But everybody who ignored the reality that this Democratic Party that was supposedly supporting Martin Luther King was trailing him, interrupting all of his messages, listening to him, treating him like some kind of terrorist. Mm-hmm. You know, and what was he saying? We should vote. And here we vote for a man who did not want to be involved, tainted is his one word, tainted by the civil rights struggle. And I say he didn't want to be involved in Fannie Lou Hamer's right to vote. So this is what a mixed message. Let's talk reality. Get our people to understand who the enemy is before we start talking about blood flowing. Tell us who the enemy is. Don't be afraid to name them by name. And Jesse Jackson certainly hasn't been a person who's been on our side. And, you know, I would love to go over his record of saying one thing here and doing something else there. And I'll never forget when he was speaking. He went to South Africa and spoke, and then went to Europe and spoke, and Vera Wood, you know, like the most outrageous racist in South Africa, got angry with Jesse, and he says, I'm tired of hearing you say one thing here, and then going someplace else and saying something else. Now, Vera, you know, any apartheid leader in South Africa is not someone I'd like to repeat the words of. But I think you get my drift. We can't have weak-kneed leaders like that. But they never were leaders on our behalf. You know, so we have to stop fooling ourselves, and we have to name names, name deeds, and name actions that we must partake in. Let's stop being theoretical about what we're doing and what the struggle is, because the struggle is very real. So let's go back, support our political prisoners. I want to hear support. Jalil Alameen is a Muslim. He started a mosque down in Georgia. We must support him. We must write letters to him. I would rather hear Minister Farrakhan say, I'm supporting Jalil. I want to talk about freeing him. I want to talk about freeing Mutulu Shakur. I want to talk about so many of our political prisoners who already did it without support. So let's talk about that. Let's name those false leaders. Name them by name and name them by deed.
Mm. And you're really saying something there.
I have a question for you, Reverend Pinkney, because
okay.
I'm thinking, when is your date? When are they going to let you off parole? When can you run for office?
Well, I'm thinking about next year I'll be off probation.
Next year.
I'm looking at running against Fred Upton here in the 6th District for U.S. Representative.
Well, let's all keep that in mind.
Right.
Let us
my goal is this. I'm in the process now of trying to raise money. Because remember this, Fred Upton is the heir to Whirlpool. And
right.
I know that it's going to be a fight. And I believe that we cannot be successful in the house of our enemy. You know, we have to have our own house in order to be successful.
Exactly.
We got to stop begging. Stop asking these folks to give us jobs, give us money, give us this. We have to stop begging and start getting out here doing things. And I tell you, I got about a couple of more minutes for you. You can talk about Lynn or whatever you want to talk about. I got to bring Mary on. I promised to bring her on at a 5:30, so I got to bring her on. But go ahead. You can say whatever your heart desires.
Okay. What I was going to say is Lynn Stewart's birthday was last week.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to Lynn.
Send cards out to her. Look her
I
up.
I will.
You know,
I'll do that.
On the website. Lynn Stewart, 53504-054, FMC Carswell, Federal Medical Center, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. And you can get this on the website. Who is Lynn Stewart? She is the people's lawyer in every sense of it. And how did she become that person? She became that person giving support, real support, legal, you know, like representation to the black community and our black heroes. And all of these gentlemen, the names, you know, I feel so bad that I don't have all of their names right at my lips. All of our political prisoners who gave up their lives. Leonard Peltier just goes on and on and on and on. And we give them no support. So I want to hear from those who talk revolution, support of our past revolutionaries, Mumia Abu-Jamal. All of these names of the people are there. Let's start supporting them and stop voting for those who are killing us. We put in a president who's killing our education with privatization. And then we have people who stay there on our side and say, support them again. And I say support Lynn Stewart, who was very, very much involved in our struggle, who says the issue along with racism of today is an issue of morality. And she is in jail because not only did she prove the blind sheikh innocent, she proved the American government guilty of these so-called terrorist plots. That's why they put her in jail. So I'm not going to take any more time. I think I've made my point. And Reverend, every program you should open up by saying you'll be ready on such and such a date, and we have to start preparing early to get you out there. I want you out there representing that district for the nation, telling the truth, raising issues that they don't want to talk about.
Absolutely. Hey, if I win that job,
we're
going to
make sure
election,
you win it. We just want to make sure
myself,
you're
I
ready.
I see myself as a House of Representatives, telling people that we are at war, the black folks, we're at war. We're in a real war here, and trying to get everybody to come to my side to vote the right way. I tell you, hey, I'm excited, Ralph. I'm telling you, I'm getting more and more excited every day because I'm ready. I'm ready to take this thing to a whole different level. But listen, on that note, I got to bring Mary in. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm praising God, Reverend. Hello there, Mr. Porter. How are you?
How are you, Mary?
I'm wonderful. And hello to the audience. I want to say that we have some good news today in a strange sort of way. It's not 100% good news, but Nanua Abdul-Jabbar, I may have said it wrong, but I hope you're aware that the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to overturn the U.S. federal court's decision that his death penalty would be unconstitutional. In other words, he is off the hook for the death penalty unless they do a new bring
trial.
Charges again and do a new trial. So he will not be executed.
But
wow, that's
part of
great news.
Mary. Is
that happened on the 11th of October. As it is, the U.S. The Court of Appeals had already decided that his death penalty would be unconstitutional, but the DA took it to the Supreme Court because the DA, of course, wanted to kill the man. And the U.S. Supreme Court in this case made a decision we can all be pleased about, because the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to overturn that that Superior Court decision that his death would be unconstitutional. So
wow.
He will live. Now,
that's
that
the problem, because as Lynn Stewart said, hope the police, the Army of Occupation and the police push for his death, because when they push for his death, then we will have the opportunity to go back and fight for his life out of prison. And if they do not, she's afraid that people are going to say, oh, well, he'll be in jail for the rest of his life for a crime he did not commit, and people will go to sleep. And I'm afraid that's what's happening. No, the victory must be that we have Mumi Abdul-Jabbar on the street, and let us not go home thinking that we have some type of victory, because life in prison for a man who did not commit the crime, and for a
right.
man who has so much to say about, you know, like our circumstance, who is so clear in his thinking, who speaks so well, should not be in prison. That's
absolutely
all I have
right.
to say.
And, you know, and I agree with that 100%. And
right.
But here's the thing that you, just like you said, normally what we normally do, we fall asleep. You know, we think that we got this little minor victory, and it's really not a victory.
Exactly.
I think sometimes when you think about
good news, sort of. It's
sort of. Very well, Mary.
With him alive, we can fight now against him being in jail the rest of his life. But you and I know now, because they did execute Troy Davis, an innocent man, just 2 weeks ago or so, we do know that they would just cold-bloodedly kill him.
Well, I think
so
he
at least,
and it's a question of strategy. Stay engaged. Do not abandon the field. And I fear, you know what I fear? That we're going to abandon the field. We must stay engaged on this issue. But, Mary, you're going to stay engaged. Reverend, you're going to stay engaged. I'm going to stay engaged. Lynn Stewart is going to stay engaged. And all politically understanding people who are in this for real are going to stay engaged. But I know so many people never got engaged on the question of Mumia Abu-Jamal. I would ask Reverend Farrakhan or Minister Farrakhan to now get involved in the question of Mumia Abu-Jamal rather than be involved about blood. I'm afraid it's going to be Mumia's blood. It was Troy's blood. We must all be involved and stop this. This education issue is big. We must stop these tyrants from destroying our children by denying them a human right of a decent education.
Hey,
we call it community control.
That's right.
But
Yes, you are so right. And speaking of the children, I was down town in Atlanta a couple of days ago, the Occupy Atlanta people, and most of them are young people. And in Atlanta, I'll say two-thirds of the people who were in the Occupy Atlanta movement are indeed Caucasians. Now, what I found interesting is that the mayor of Atlanta, who's a black man, Mayor Kasim Reed, told the Occupy Atlanta protesters that he would do nothing to forcibly remove their encampment from Woodruff Park, right there in the 100 block of Peachtree Street, until Monday, because he did not want to have anything to mar today's activities in Washington, D.C., where they are dedicating the memorial for Martin Luther King. Now, the thing is that they have tents and they have camps, and it's just really an interesting and lively place right there in Woodruff Park. Now, these people, the protesters, have renamed that park Troy Davis Park. So they are occupying Atlanta in Troy Davis Park in the 100 block of Peachtree Street. That's a less than a block. That's like 15 steps from where I was at the 127 Peachtree Street in June of 2010 when the police came and told me that if I did not leave from there and shut up talking to people about the secret arrest and wrongful death of Larry Neal, and you can look that up online, wrongful death of Larry Neal, if I didn't stop telling people about my brother, my handicapped brother's secret arrest and murder, and telling people about the Johnny Cochran firm fraud against black people in America, and telling people that they were getting ready to defraud the family of Katherine Johnston, the 92-year-old woman that was killed by police here in Atlanta, if I didn't stop talking to people about these subjects on the sidewalk, they would taser and arrest me. So, you know, that was only 15 or so feet from where the Occupy Atlanta people are now. So what a difference. I thought about when he told them that they could stay until Monday. The words that came to my mind were some of Ralph Porter's words, skin privilege. I was not told, don't come here again, or you have until such and such a day to tell people about us lynching your brother. I was told to leave the public sidewalk and shut up telling people about a police lynching immediately or I would be arrested. Now, I said, officer, I have free speech in America. I have free speech. And he said, no, you don't, not in Atlanta. When I made Mayor Reed and other people in Atlanta, Atlanta's supposed to be known for civil rights. When I made them aware of the fact that police had told me that I could not speak freely on public sidewalks, not breaking any laws to individuals about a lynching and about the need for people to know what's going on and act on injustices, the same things we talk about on the radio, they told me that I would be arrested and tasered if I did. Mm. So you know that these same people who are trying to come out, John Lewis tried to come out and talk to the Occupy Atlanta group. Kasim Reed They asked him, they made a demand that they want him to spend the night with them there in the encampment. He said, I'll pray about it. All of this patronizing that these people get, because, let's face it, because they're whites.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
So let me get this straight, Mary. Let me get this straight. They're
yes.
not, if there were black people doing this, they're all being jailed
in jail.
That's right. But by they being white, they don't care, so they're going to let them do what they want to do.
Exactly. And so what I'm saying is this hypocrisy, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that they belong in jail. I'm proud of them for protesting. I'm just showing the difference. If those were when the black kids used to come to Atlanta, okay, and they used to call it a spring fest, and the kids came from all over the country and would come to Atlanta. Do you know they treated our college kids from all over the country who came to Atlanta for spring fest? Do you know they treated them like terrorists? Do you know they blocked off the streets, closed down the businesses, herded them around in a little circle, arrested as many of them as possible for anything at all they could, and this is so-called Chocolate City. These are so-called black representatives. And I want you to know that all these so-called black folks, they up in Washington right now, okay, are all corralled around MLK's memorial, making speeches and what have you. They're not about what MLK was about. Dr. King was against a war. Dr. King was against inflicted poverty. He was for workers' rights.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, these people who are speaking today. And it just makes me angry, Reverend. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that they try to censor me. They try to arrest you for free speech, because the truth is they want to do these things and they want nobody to criticize them. They want nobody to call them out. Well, you know, a hypocrite is a damn hypocrite. And little father said, woe unto hypocrites. And I say to you, all you black people who are just, you know, just really spitting on everything Martin Luther King stood for on one hand, but then you're there clapping and bowing and bragging that you walked with him one day.
Yeah.
You know what? What is that? If you walked with him one day, so what? You were 18 and you didn't have anything else to do. You didn't know what it was about, and you don't care what it was about. So I'm just not impressed, because if you knew what it was about that Reverend King was involved in, and if you cared, you would not be able to make these 180-degree turns. And people who have already said that they don't want to be tainted with the civil rights movement, but they're going to be making keynote speeches, I'm just outraged. And, you know, I was intending to be in Washington today. But as it is, I thought, well, you know, a protest movement has come to me. I'll go down to Occupy Atlanta, and I enjoy meeting the young people. I'm proud of them standing up against corporate greed and government misdeeds. I'm proud of the fact that they're standing up together, black, white, from different socioeconomic levels. But I'm just pointing out the difference between the tolerance that they're getting here in Atlanta, Georgia, and what happened to me when I was saying, don't lynch black people, don't break in 92-year-old women's houses and murder them, and then get the sold-out, crooked Cochran firm to represent them. Do not do things like this to people. And I'm threatened with tasering and arrest by the same police who are escorting them down the street for their march. Okay?
So
there's a big difference.
Contradictions. You're teaching people the contradictions, and this is so very important. But the next step we must take is I'm, as we speak, working with people to get black people in the black community to occupy space to air our grievances. And then let's see the difference, the contradiction again, in terms of how we are going to be treated by the police. Because here in Brooklyn, we lead the nation in number of foreclosures in the black neighborhoods, in Bed-Stuy, Bedford-Stuyvesant, and Canarsie. So therefore, we must stand out in the streets, occupy space, and say we have grievances. 10 times what other people's grievances are. So let us do the same and make sure people hear what we're talking about. So, Mary,
what will happen if they did it today, if black people got together talking about they're going to occupy some land, they would do the exact same thing that they did in the 60s. They would get out the strong water holes, the big dogs, the rubber bullets to begin with, maybe, the live ammunition within hours, okay?
And I will tell you this much, they won't get an escort.
I don't wonder what they
Mary, do. They won't get an escort for no place but the jail.
We're going to call
you.
Mary.
That's it. That's the only place that they get an escort. Mary, you got about 2 minutes. Why don't you say what you got to say right fast, and I got to bring on Libby. Go right ahead.
All right, then. Thank you, Reverend. I just want to say that Fred B. Mann invites people who are interested in talking about Occupy Wall Street to come to his live radio show on Wednesday. I'm sorry, his live television show on Access TV. That's Wednesday at 14th Street in Atlanta. And so people who are interested in talking about Occupy Wall Street can come there Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for the live show, and it will be aired on Channel 24 here in Atlanta. So that's Fred B. Mann show, Good News for Justice. My name is Mary Neal. I'm director and founder of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. I say that one demand for Occupy Wall Street needs to be to tell representatives, to tell government officials that it is time they choose between whether they're going to represent the people or the corporations. You need to either divest yourselves of corporate stock or resign from public office. So my suggestion for Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street, is simple. It is the best or resign. So you can put that in your website and see information about it. It's called Occupy Wall Street, the best or resign. Thank
I like
you.
That. And, you know, and that's what I'm saying also. We should ask every U.S. senator that even go for Kanye's and the rest of them to resign, the House of Representatives. You know, have every last one is 445 of them, including the president. Let's ask them all to resign, and let's start all over with a new world. And I think, to me, that's where we should be going. On that note, let me bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
I am, and that sounds like a great idea to me.
Mm.
I have the bhbanco.org website here from Wednesday, October 12th. Benton Harbor in the New York Times is the heading. The New York Times has been working on an article about Benton Harbor. Keep an eye out, as it should appear any day now. Reverend Pinckney was interviewed for several hours by a reporter who traveled to Benton Harbor. And yesterday, that would have been this past Tuesday, the newspaper, meaning the New York Times, sent a photographer to town. Next, we have Judge Dennis Wiley receives an award. A progressive national organization called Foxfire has been keeping an eye on the Berrien County Courthouse, among other courts, and has given Judge Dennis Wiley the Jackass of the Year Award for the second time in 3 years. He is notorious throughout Berrien County, Michigan, and elsewhere for corruption, innocent convictions, and blatant inebriation on the bench. The judicial system which employs Judge Wiley is itself blatantly corrupt, denies procedural rights guaranteed by the Constitution, and violates the basic right to equality before the law. Berrien County is known for rigged courts, fake and phony trials, and extortion by judges and lawyers. In this courthouse, the focus is on jailing young black Benton Harbor males. Approximately 1 out of 25 are imprisoned. Reverend Edward Pinckney watches Judge Wiley on a daily basis, recording his words and actions. This week, Pinckney was joined by two court watchers, a Brazilian and a Colombian, who couldn't believe what they saw. an architect of the courts, racism, and corruption, now on the West Michigan federal bench, is Judge Paul Maloney. He illegally set aside the 2005 Benton Harbor recall election of Glenn Yarbrough. Maloney was in court this past week. Reverend Pinckney made sure their eyes met. That would be the end of that. And
wow.
I have
what else
some
you got
Whirlpool.
For me? Got anything else?
I have some Whirlpool information here that they are continuing to fire people, let people
mm-hmm.
go, lay off people, whatever you want to call it, just put people out of work.
Yes.
And so there are some articles in some various newspapers and online places about this. But the really great thing is the comments that are coming in after these articles about Whirlpool layoffs. Now, one of these comments says, all the best for those out of work now and those left behind to do more work. It is a real pity that the incompetent Whirlpool leaders aren't walked out the door. Where is the board looking out for the shareholders' interests? Nowhere. Millions of dollars to keep four jets, a new $40 million building that is not needed, particularly now, and time and again failed strategies to increase profits. Is it brand or product channel strategy this year? Question mark. That's sarcastic.
Mm.
So what does one do when you can't improve profits, when you have the market share leadership? Fire employees. It is a complete admission of failure in leadership and talent recruitment. I wonder if any human resource leaders in Whirlpool were let go this time. The ones charged with talent recruitment should obviously be the first to go, right? Maybe when they fire the next several hundred employees, the board might start to wake up, but don't hold your breath. P.S., I like the use of the term organizational effectiveness moves.
Mm.
Yeah, that was in the article.
Yeah.
Nice. Sorry,
yeah,
you are not effective in our organization anymore.
Wow.
Okay, there's more. There's more, but we're running out of time, eh?
Right. But that's good. But here we do have some good news. Whirlpool now has a negative credit rating, which is the best news that I've heard in so long that I don't even know what to say. They're just one step from being junk stock. Once they get junk stock, they're through dealing. And here's another thing. They're now laying off people here, not people from Benton Harbor, but they're laying off people here in Benton Harbor. This is the first time. I'm talking about 700 to 1,000 people will be laid off here. And they're building a new building, too. But what I'm liking about this, we're being successful in stopping them and actually allowing them to increase what they're doing. And I tell you, I'm excited about what's going on here at the Whirlpool. I want to get so excited about what's happening. And I want other people to get excited that we're going to stop this blood-sucking corporation from sucking the blood out of the folks here in the city of Benton Harbor and around the world. I'm happy today. Yes.
Can I ask you what you meant when you said that we are successful?
Yeah. Matter of fact, by keeping the pressure on them, people are really not buying a product like they normally would have. At this stage last year, they stock was about $90. Now it's less than $50 per share, and it's steady going down. It's declining.
So the boycott is working.
It's working. It's working. The boycott is working. And it's working to the ability where people have to decide what they're going to do. And the best part about it, never before have they ever laid off any employees from here in this area. You know, and now they're going to lay off from 700 to 1,000. They don't want that to really get out. They say it's going to be less than 500 or so. But it's going to be from 700 to 1,000 employees who's going to be removed. And that's the good part. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to tell you just like it is. I'm very excited. But look, if you got something else to say, I got to bring Ralph on, give him a couple of minutes to clean up everything. then I got to go to Mary, then I come back to you, unless you got something to say you want to say now.
I think I'm done.
You're done for right now, so hold that line. Let me, Ralph Porn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I've been criticized. I have been told that I am correct, but I have been too loud. So
mm-hmm.
I will tone my voice down and try to get some correctness here. There is maybe an opportunity in Benton Harbor for a convergence of interest. All of those people laid off should be joining Reverend Pinckney.
Mm, I like that.
And this would be a convergence of interest. I would extend the hand to them who have laid out of the movement that you have been working on for years to get justice in Benton Harbor, to say we should work together for justice for everyone in Benton Harbor. Convergence of interest. Test again whether people be honest when they say we are together. And I make one more appeal.
Ralph, are you there?
Maybe we're getting something right here because my phone has been acting strange.
Well, listen, let me go on. Let me bring in Mary. I'll come back to you. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Yes, conversions of interest. We all have a conversions of interest, and that is the people who were laid off in Benton Harbor, the people who are middle class all over the world, the people who are black, white, Native American, Latinos. We have a conversions of interest, and I'm glad for movements like Wall Street, Occupy. I'm glad for Reverend Pinckney, and I just champion your calls to join the U.S. House of Representatives. You would be a great addition to that body of officials, sir. And I just want to say we have a conversions of interest. We need to recognize that. We need to stand together. We need to come together. And we need to say to all of the people, we need to say to big business, and we need to say to our representatives who put big business ahead of Americans, we need to say to them, as I wrote, and you can look it up online, for the Occupy demand, you need to divest or resign. Divest means sell your stock, sell your wife's stock, and your man or children. You don't need that. If you're going to represent us, you cannot represent the big business at the same time. You proved it. I don't have to prove it. You proved it. America is down. America isn't going down. America is down. And the next step, if it goes down any further, not only are they flattening our economy, but our civil and human rights are all but gone. They were going to arrest some occupied people today who went to who were withdrawing their money from Citibank. Last week I read about them bringing out the SWAT team to keep people in St. Louis from withdrawing money from Bank of America. So what I'm saying is,
Mary,
we're
you got
not
about
going
30
down.
Seconds. So
we are down.
Go right in. You got 30 seconds,
Mary. Rights are concerned. Okay, human and civil rights, we are down. We're not going down. We're down already. And we need to converge our interests with people like Reverend Pinckney and others who are moving forward with a program of inclusion and succeeding against these major corporations. Thank you.
Very good. Libby, go right ahead. You got something to say?
I don't think after what Mary said I can top that because I agree with all of that. And
me too.
Really, really
Thank
important.
You.
Really
yeah,
important.
I thought that was tremendous, and I tell you, and that's the level we have to be on. But I tell you what, I'm ecstatic about Whirlpool. I'm not happy about the people actually being laid off and stuff like that. But I am happy to hear that Whirlpool is no longer what people say they are. And that's what makes me happy. And you know, they're at the stage now, they're just one step away from being junk stock. See, to me, people don't quite understand how important that is. That means that they can be a hostile takeover of the Upton family.
You know, so that's really what that means right there, that they could no longer be in control of the state. And maybe we might get somebody worse or we might get somebody better. But anything to get rid of them, get them out of our community. And whoever comes in, maybe could move Whirlpool out of this area. What would even make me more happier? There's nothing that would make me happier than that. I mean, to me, in my fight and things that I do, I just want to make sure that people understand Whirlpool is our enemy. These corporations, they are our enemy. And we should occupy everything, Wall Street, everything you can think of, the parks, City Hall, whatever it is, we need to occupy it. And the more people, the better. It don't make a difference. You know, we all in this together. Black, white, Latinos, Mexicans, whatever they might be, we're all in this together, and we need to fight together. We need to stand up for what's right and take this thing to a whole different level. Until we're able to do this, we're going to be just spinning our wheels. And I love what Minister Farrakhan said. We are at war. This is a war. Whether we like it or not, we're at war, and it's time for us to make them either put up or shut up. It's more of us than them. That's what I'm trying to tell people. It's more of us than them. Once you get that in your head, you know you can win. I don't believe that we can take
the
beat up.
99%, they say.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just 1%, and we're the 99%, but we have to show them. And, Ralph, you got about 10 seconds. Say whatever you want.
All I'm saying is I am enjoying this so much. So much education is going out there. We're doing our job. Reverend Pinckney, keep it going. Thank you again.
Hey. And I tell you, this is beautiful. And look, and here's our message for now. It's all right to say occupy Wall Street, but let's occupy everything. Everything. Let's occupy everything. We don't want to just occupy Wall Street. We want to occupy everything. Everything that could be occupied is, look, it's not, we're that 99%. We only got
right.
A few people out here doing things. But look, on that note, I'm sorry to tell you, we have just ran out of time.
Thank you.
I was just getting
warmed
up.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night.
Hey, I enjoyed everybody.
I love you
God
all.
Bless
I love you all, too, and God bless y'all.
Right.
Bye now.